From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Old school salsa, that clean brass, the hard percussion, the rhythm and drive that make you move. Nowadays, salsa has a softer sound, smoother, but it didn't always. And my guest today, Spanish Harlem Orchestra bandleader Oscar Hernandez, will take us there, back to the sound of salsa dura, the salsa straight from New York City. This hour On Point, Spanish Harlem Orchestra and the old school sound of salsa. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on Does It Send You? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Culver City, California, is Oscar Hernandez, bandleader of the 13-piece, two-time Grammy-winning Spanish Harlem Orchestra, producer of their self-titled new album, Spanish Harlem Orchestra. He's a great musician in his own right, has played and performed with giants Tito Puente, Ismael Miranda, Ray Barreto, and more, grew up listening to the sound of salsa in New York, and brings it back to us today. Oscar Hernandez, welcome to On Point. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me and for letting me share a little time with you and your listeners. It's my pleasure to be here.
We are so very glad to have you. And from Washington with us today is Felix Contreras, co-host of NPR's Alt Latino, the web-based program about Latin alternative music and Latino culture. Felix Contreras, thank you. It's so great to have you with us as well, Felix.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Hey, Oscar.
Oscar Felix. Felix Oscar. Hello across the country there. Listen, I am so looking forward to this. Oscar, describe what's behind us right now. What album is this from? What are we listening to?
That's from the very first album that we did, released in the year 2002, and it's a classic Tito, our rendition of what is a classic Tito Rodriguez song. As we like to do with Spanish Harlem Orchestra, we like to take a few of the old songs and create our own versions of those songs, and that's titled Mama Abuela, and it's from the album titled, or the CD titled, Un Gran Día en el Barrio, which is a great day in the barrio.
It sounds like it right there. Felix, there is a history lesson as well as something so right now about this. Salsa's changed since the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, Felix. It's softer now. People talk about romantic salsa.
Yeah, man, don't get me... I guess you did get me started.
Okay, get started.
I'm that's why the Spanish Harlem Orchestra has been such a favorite of mine, because it goes back to the salsa, the Afro-Cuban music, the dance music, what became known as salsa, that so many of us grew up on from the Fania days, from that pivotal early 70s period. Because, yeah, it did sort of get away from those roots, and it's softer. The salsa romántica, you know, there was all this emphasis on this exaggerated dancing and all that, you know. I just talked to so many people. It's like, you know, I'm old school. I like the old school sound. That's why I think the Spanish Harlem Orchestra is so popular, because it's bringing all that stuff back with such a nice touch.
It really does. Here off the new album, self-titled Spanish Harlem Orchestra. This is just out last month. This is Caribe Soy, a song about Caribbean identity. I mean, after all, the place where the music of salsa originates. Let's listen.
Tu cielo y mar nos abrigan, tu encanto es tan lleno de amor.
Caribe Soy from Spanish Harlem Orchestra. Oscar Hernandez, his band leader, joins us today from Culver City, California. Oscar, would you be good enough to give us a little history lesson here? Take us back to this heyday, 50s, 60s, 70s. What was going on with salsa then? Who was playing it? Where were they playing it? The legacy that your wonderful band honors and pushes forward. Take us back to that.
Well, I don't go back to the 50s and very limited to the 60s, but I could tell you that as a youngster, it was the music that I heard from every other window, every other door I passed by growing up in the South Bronx. And also, I come from a family of 11, and I'm number 10. So it was the music that my parents would be listening to on the radio. My older brothers and sisters would be getting prepared to go out and dance and party on a weekend. And it was a time of cultural revolution for Latinos in the city of New York, and music was a huge part of that, Tom. So, and Felix, as you well know. So for me, I got hooked early on when I started listening to the music, and then I became influenced, and somebody gave me a piano. I started playing trumpet at the local boys club, and they gave me a piano, and lo and behold, I was hooked and imitating the music that I was listening to as a 14-year-old. And when I saw my first bands performing live, then I was really hooked. And for me, you guys touch on some very important points, because definitely, you know, and Felix could, you know, attest to this, the music has lost the essence of what this music really is. And all I'm doing is performing the music the way I learned it, you know, in the 70s as a young musician, playing with a lot of great musicians that I was blessed to be performing with on different stages and recording studios that I was blessed, and different opportunities that I was given by great band leaders such as Imael Miranda, Peter Conde, Ray Barreto, then subsequently with Ruben Blades, Conjunto Libre, all the people that formed my training ground for the musician that I am today. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's music that I absolutely love, and there's an incredible aspect to this music that is, for me, it goes beyond dance, because it is dance music, but we're fortunate enough with Spanish Harlem Orchestra to perform in performing arts centers all over the world, in festivals and world stages, and I like to think that on the level that we do it, guys, it takes on a different aspect than just being dance. It's an art form. There's no doubt about it. And if you're not sure, then go listen to your records of Machito and Tito Puente
no question
Tito Rodriguez.
Mr. Hernandez, we will give you that, but you can't take away from us the urge to dance as we listen, even so.
No, that's true. And that's what I get from people.
Yeah. Felix.
You know, go ahead.
Forgive me. It's just Felix, you look in the all-knowing Wikipedia, and they're saying salsa music, Cuban, Puerto Rican, Colombian, and that the very term salsa didn't really come around until the 1970s, promoted and marketed in New York City, Felix.
You know, I remember as a kid, I'm originally from California, and I'm from, my parents were born here, my grandparents are from Mexico, so I came to this music, you know, largely through college, you know, and it was the progressive music for people who were listening to, who wanted to be more adventurous and step out beyond the Mexican roots. So all of that stuff, that Fania stuff started coming on right at that time, right? Late 70s, 76,
Fania, 77. You said there. F-A-N-I-A. What's Fania?
Fania was a record label based in New York City. It started in 64, so it's having its 50th anniversary this year. Started by a Dominican musician named Johnny Pacheco and his lawyer friend, Jerry Masucci. And they started a small little label. I remember reading stories about them delivering the albums from the back of Johnny Pacheco's car.
Yeah.
And it became, like Oscar said, it became a cultural revolution, because right at that time, you consider the cultural context, early 70s, 72, 73, on through the mid 70s, that was a really very big time for political awareness of Latinos across the country, in New York and New York City, out in California. That's where a lot of the political muscle started to really be expanded. So this music became, for a lot of people, especially the crowd that I hung with out in California, it became the soundtrack to this whole progressive movement of, okay, we are staking our claim in this society. And so I think that a lot of that music was, like I said, was the soundtrack, and it represented something new and fresh.
And Oscar, in New York City, above all, a kind of the Puerto Rican influence so big, the New Yorican, was that your background, Oscar?
Without a doubt. A good analogy, just to kind of encapsulate, is Fania Records was the Motown for Latinos.
There you go.
So what Motown
I love
did
it, with Johnny Pacheco there.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. What Motown did for R&B and for Black America in terms of music, Fania did at the same time, more or less. And yes, my background is my parents are from Puerto Rico, first generation. I'm born and raised in New York City. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was very much a part of the cultural revolution that was happening even before me in the 50s and 60s as Puerto mm-hmm. Ricans were looking for place, you know, a new place to kind of make it in the land of opportunity, so to speak. And my parents moved here in the late 40s. And I was born in the 50s and got to really appreciate the music that was happening in the 60s. And that was a very fertile time. Culturally, that was a very revolutionary time in terms of politically. But, you know, socializing and finding our identity as Latinos, and music was a huge part of that. It was huge.
And in the last dozen years, Spanish Harlem Orchestra has brought it all back with a, I want to say vengeance, but with tremendous artistry here. Oscar Hernandez is band leader. The new album is Spanish Harlem Orchestra. Asia Se Vive behind us from that album. Oscar, please stand by in California. Felix Contreras in Washington. It's great to have you both. Listeners, where does this music take you? Your mind, your pulse, your memory. Does it get you up, make you want to dance? Does it take you back to when salsa was crisp, almost hard, percussive, dura? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are diving into the wonderful music of Spanish Harlem Orchestra this hour with band leader Oscar Hernandez, joins us from Culver City, California, and with Felix Contreras, co-host of NPR's Alt Latino, with us from Washington, looking at the big band's old-school salsa dura sound. Behind us right here off their 2010 album, or 11, Viva la Tradición, the salsa dura. You can join us this hour. Where does this music take you? Does it put you in Spanish Harlem, 1962, 1969, 1970? And what's your preference? This, the newer, softer, more romantic salsa, or this vavoom, salsa dura from Spanish Harlem Orchestra? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. This is La Salsa Dura off their new album. Felix, Oscar, lots of callers for you already. Maria in Ashford, Connecticut. You're on the air. Thanks for calling, Maria.
Hi, Tom, and thank you for taking my call. What a wonderful program you have today.
Oh, good. What do you think of this, Maria?
Well, you put me to dance this morning. I am 69, and that music takes me to my old days.
What do you picture? Paint a picture for us, Maria. Is it on the radio? Are you in a ballroom?
I am in a friend's house, dancing with my friends, and when I used to have my boyfriend, dancing cheek to cheek.
You must have pretty good footwork to stay cheek to cheek and dance to this at the same time.
A wonderful orchestra, and my congratulations to you, because you always remember us, the Latinos, and have nice programs.
Oh, Maria, we are so happy to do it. Maria, dream on with this. Felix and Oscar are right there with you. Thank you very much for your call. That's just terrific. Lots of people here. Imara says, talks about your group, Oscar. Spanish Harlem Orchestra says they're amazing. Tim says, how am I supposed to work with such great music playing in the background? I cannot stay in my seat. And Dana says, I've seen you perform 3 times, have 3 of your albums. Love you guys. Keep up the great work. Salsa dura. What does it mean, Oscar?
Well, for me, it's music, the way I learned it. It's music, unfortunately, that has an organic war energy, and there's dynamics that went into that style of music that you don't find anymore. First of all, Spanish Harlem records the old-fashioned way, like I learned it. We record live, 13 musicians in a room, everybody now records with click tracks where they'll put the instrument one by one or two by two, yeah. and they develop the sound. Well, no. For me, there's a creative interaction that happens performing live with other musicians that you can't, you know, you can try and duplicate and sometimes replicate and make an attempt at making it happen. But there's a raw chemistry that happens. And this is the magic of music for me, you know. Also, and translating, as good as these records sound, the band sounds better even in person. So that's a tribute to the great musicians that we have. And that chemistry that we try to, you know, that magic that we try to create.
I love that it's not tracks laid down later and mixed together. It's for real, Felix. And you can, Felix, and you can hear that here. But that requires a level of musicianship to be this crisp, this on it. That's
no
just
doubt.
Something extraordinary, Felix.
No doubt.
Yeah. And my own little personal insight into it is that, you know, because of those Fania albums, I taught myself how to play conga and timbal and bongo, all the Afro-Caribbean instruments. Mm-hmm. I'll call it a humble talent, okay?
Okay.
But I did learn that. And when you say you have to play together, you know, Oscar is right on the point, because you cannot play timbales without having, and make it groove like that without having the rest of the guys in the band. And that's just a percussionist, the bass player, the piano, all of that stuff. All of it's like, imagine your two hands coming together and forming like a little, you know, putting those interlocking those fingers. That's the way this music has to be played. There's no other way.
Let's get a little taste of the old original here. This is Mama Guela. This is from Tito Puente. Oscar Hernandez, you've played with him. This was from the album, 1960 album, at the Palladium Live, Palladium Ballroom in Manhattan, famous venue there. Spanish Harlem Orchestra plays songs straight from this era. Tito Puente, famously known as one of the big three of salsa music. Here he is with Mama Guela.
Mira como mama abuela.
Mama abuela, mama abuela.
Tito Puente, inspiration and more for Spanish Harlem Orchestra. Their band leader, Oscar Hernandez, is with us today, along with Felix Contreras. That'll take you right back to 1960. Mama Guela, grandmother, from at the Palladium Live, Mark in Burlington, Vermont. Mark, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yes, Tom, thank you. Boy, you know, when I was a young kid in Newburgh, New York, around 1969, 1970, our family had a vending machine business. We used to set up candy and cigarette machines at these villas, what they called them, up in Plattekill, New York. I wonder if any of your listeners remember Plattekill, New York.
Yeah, when you say villa, do you mean a venue for music and dance, or what did it mean, Mark?
The villas in Plattekill were the New York City Latino population, what the Catskills were for the Jewish population. They would all come up in these buses. I remember these old buses, and they would just flood the Plattekill. And they, at these villas, they would have.
Well, I could tell you exactly what it was.
Yes, please.
They were called Las Villas for us.
Yeah, of course.
And as a young musician, they were a place that. People used to go to get away from the city because obviously the city was hot and there was so much happening and it was congested. So it was a time to get away into the country, and they would have these places called Las Villas, or as he would say, villas. But for us, everybody knew, hey, we're going to Las Villas. By the way, I need to correct you, Tom. That wasn't Tito Puente. It was Tito Rodriguez.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
From the Palladium.
I am so happy to be corrected there.
It's Tito Rodriguez from the Palladium, Mama Abuela, classic. That's one of the most classic songs and classic from the classic records live at the Palladium. But yeah, Las Villas was a place for Latinos to get away from the city, and they would see live bands, sometimes three, four, five live bands on a weekend. And it was a great time to be had by all.
That's, in a way, was that before your time, Oscar? Were your musicians around and as kids dancing then or not?
I caught I caught that as a very young musician, the tail end of it. You know, when I was probably like 20, 21, 22, I went up there a few times. But so I got to see some of it. And it was part of what would be happening in the summertime, obviously, because it wouldn't happen in the wintertime. But it was summertime in New York.
Explain a little bit for us here. I want to dip into another cut from your new album, Spanish Harlem Orchestra. This is called This Is Mambo. Now, when you got mambo, you got salsa. Mambo's a kind of salsa. Is that fair to say, Oscar? Where does it fit in the constellation here?
Well, mambo's a specific rhythm that basically you can make the it's synonymous for me with salsa. Obviously, now salsa is more encompassing because it encompasses all the aspects. It was a way for them to kind of commercialize the whole genre, so to speak, and they put salsa on it. But mambo was specific music, as you heard with the Tito Rodriguez track, Mama Abuela. That's mambo at its best.
Yeah.
And it's a specific dance, and it originated with Paris Prado and Cachao, and then it crystallized in New York with Tito Puente, Tito Rodriguez, and Machito. And you're going to play a track now from Spanish Harlem that basically captures the essence of what that is, because that's, for me, it's in my heart. I love it. I have an incredible passion. So if you listen to this track, This Is Mambo, it's our version of the Tito Rodriguez classic, This Is Mambo, and you can hear mambo at his best here.
A hat tip to Tito Rodriguez from Spanish Harlem Orchestra off their new album, same title, This Is Mambo.
Cuando tú sientas las notas modernas de este mambo, esta melodía vivirás. Bailarás al son del ritmo cubano y así disfrutarás bien armonizado. Mi mambo, mambo para bailar. Ahora sí, a gozar este mambo. Anda.
A bailar el mambo pa' gozar.
Ven, pero que ven, rumbero bailador, ya llegó tu rico mambo.
This Is Mambo from Spanish Harlem Orchestra. It is hard not to fall in love with that. Let's go to St. Louis. Missouri Jay is calling. Jay, you're on the air. Thanks for calling from St. Louis.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for the call. This is my question for both Oscar and Felix. I am so curious about this music. I'm a middle-aged white guy from the upper Midwest, actually, and I'm with you, Tom. This music takes me to a place that I don't think I can even explain. I want to know what it is that music. What, I'm not a musician. What is the arrangement that makes that sound so different? Why is it different than merengue or mariachi music? What's that sound that makes that so distinctive?
Jay in St. Louis, we're going to try and do that for you to pick it apart and describe what's got you moving there. Felix, may I ask you to jump in on that first? When you think of salsa, it's a broad genre, as Oscar says, but what is it that's going on here structurally, in terms of percussion, in terms of the instrumentation, that makes it salsa, that makes it, gives it that zing?
Oscar is obviously the expert on this one, but my understanding, my appreciation for the music is based on Afro-Cuban rhythms, Afro-Caribbean rhythms. And while merengue is an Afro-Caribbean rhythm, it has a slightly different feel. This is all stuff based on what's called a Cuban clave. It's a two-measure rhythm structure that's part of all of mambo, of cha-cha-cha, of all the Cuban-based music. And I think that's what people hear. And it's all the very typical or típica arrangements and sounds, you know, the way the pianos play that Oscar does so very, very well, the way he plays a particular rhythm part, the bass, what's called the tumbao, the ostinating, you know, rhythm that they play, the congas and the timbales, how it all comes together. And in this cut, because I think it is an homage to the 50s sound, those horn arrangements that are such perfect, there's a perfect alignment. It reminds me of some of those old Puente albums. And that's my appreciation of it from a listener, from, you know, a part-time musician perspective.
Just that blast, that waterfall of horn is so wonderful, and more there. We're talking with Oscar Hernandez, band leader of Spanish Harlem Orchestra, and Felix Contreras from NPR's Alt Latino. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Oscar, how do you describe the essence for our caller from St. Louis of what makes salsa salsa?
Well, two words, trance-like, mesmerizing for me. I hear this music.
I love those. Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, for me, I hear this music and it just evokes a certain love that I can't even describe. It's just I love this music so much, and maybe because I've been playing it for so many years, and now I don't take it for granted. I did for so many years. I'll give you a little hint. On this particular track, you're hearing music that's built on one chord.
Yeah.
One chord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which gets to the trance, because there's a lot of repetitive stuff going on.
Right. But when you listen to the layers of what's happening on that one chord, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is amazing and mesmerizing and trance-like for me. And one thing we must touch upon is mambo is a sacred for dancers, mambo dancers, so to speak. It's created the magic of what now salsa dancing is comes from mambo dancing. It's synonymous. So when you listen to this track, which is mambo, you could just kind of visualize mambo dancing at its best by two dancers, you know, that go back to those Palladium days, which is with the 50s and then late 60s. And I caught the 70s at the Corso in New York, which was like the Palladium of the 70s in New York City. And the mambo dancers that were there were amazing. And now it's taken on an aspect of kind of gymnastics and competition, which I personally do not prefer.
Forget the dancing with the stars, not your thing. Let's get some of that sound from the 70s that caught you, Oscar. This is Así Se Compone Un Son. This is a son, Afro-Cuban style, part of salsa, performed here by Ismael Miranda. This is 1973. He was known as the pretty boy of salsa with his Revelation Orchestra. The song with which Miranda entered the salsa craze in 1973, this one, Oscar Hernandez played with them. Here's Así Se Compone Un Son.
Para componer un son se necesita un motivo y un tema constructivo y también inspiración. Cuando tengas el motivo, aplícalo con el tema. Así con ese sistema nunca fallarás, hermano. Ahí luego da la inspiración y sentimiento cubano. Óyelo bien.
To compose the song, get a motive, a constructive topic, an inspiration too. And off we go. Gail is calling from Lexington, Kentucky. Gail, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
This is such a joy for me. You have no idea. I studied at Latin American Institute in New York, where I lived for 40 years, but we're talking about the early 60s. And when you study Spanish, you also have to study the language and the dance forms, and I did. I went with my friends to the Palladium and went to their houses and danced, and this music is such a heartbeat, not of just New York City, but of the entire Latino community. It's just wonderful. Thank you for having this program.
Oh, Gail, you're so welcome. Gail's feet danced at the Palladium Ballroom. That's pretty great. Oscar, is this still the heartbeat of this community, or does it sound like of a certain time now?
Well, I wish I could say that it is. It is definitely somewhat still a heartbeat of a community, but times have changed. There are now a couple of generations that were past that. So I don't think, the same dynamics that made that music exist back in the 60s and 70s or the 50s, 60s and 70s exist anymore. It's a different world. That being said, Spanish Harlem Orchestra has performed in Russia, Australia, Hong Kong, Japan, just about every country in Europe, and there's a different level of appreciation in those places. Sometimes even more so because people don't take it for granted. And, you know, the gentleman from St. Louis, I got to say that's the reaction we get. We play in Memphis. We play in San Antonio, Texas, recently in Keene, New Hampshire. Audiences are on their feet at the end, and they're mostly non-Latino audiences that, are affected by the music. So it's a different time for sure, but it's still beautiful nevertheless.
Oscar, you don't have to persuade us. We hear it. Oscar Hernandez, band leader of Spanish Harlem Orchestra, their Canción behind us right here. Felix Contreras of Alt Latino is with us from NPR as well. Listeners, you can join us. Are you dancing right now? 800-423-8255 is our number.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back with more. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are diving into the wonderful music of Spanish Harlem Orchestra with bandleader Oscar Hernandez today in the big band's old school salsa dura sound. We really don't want to stop playing this music. Oscar Hernandez is with us. They're out with a new album just last month, Spanish Harlem Orchestra self-titled. He's with us from Culver City, California. Felix Contreras is with us from Alt Latino, NPR's web-based program about Latin music, Latino culture. You can join us this hour. What's your question? Your shout-out for band leader Oscar Hernandez, for Alt Latino's Felix Contreras. Behind us right here, La Banda. This is off the 2002 debut album, Un Gran Día en el Barrio. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. And Oscar, Felix, so many callers for you. I want to get them in. William in Atlanta, Georgia. William, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. When I was coming up, a lot of Afro-Caribbean music crossed over into the mainstream, and I can think of at least a few records that were big top 40 hits. Bang Bang by Joe Cuba, Hey Leroy by Jimmy Soul, and El Watusi by Ray Barreto, among others. And I'd like to ask your guest to comment about how, in kind of a changing listening environment where everybody gets to pick and choose what they want to hear instead of hearing different styles of music together in a more broader context, how that may have affected not only the perception of the music, but the acceptance of it as well.
Oh, William, that's such a wonderful question. Felix, I'm gonna bend your mind here and see if you can figure this out for it. This out for us. What is it? I mean, William's quite right. There used to be crossovers out of this style and others. There were windows into mainstream. AM at that time was the dominant radio form, of course. I mean, now, in our area, we're so lucky to have Jose Maso with Con Salsa, who brings it here. You bring it with Alt Latino. Oscar and his band bring it all over the world with their performances. But why is it that we don't see this coming into right into the mainstream as much as it was once able to do, Felix?
Well, you know, it's because of the way people are isolated and listening, I think, that has a lot to do with it. But I would also argue back, you know, Oscar was, you know, that introduction to the HBO show Sex in the City.
Yes, okay? There he was. Yeah.
That's Oscar.
Yes.
Okay, so that's
okay.
It can be part of the mainstream society. It can be part of what everybody listens to. Now, as far as the radio is concerned, you know, how much time do you have? That's another hour to talk about that, right? But I think that, you know, when what we do in our show, when we do make a reference to the Afro-Caribbean music, you know, especially with some of the old school salsa, and I know it's very controversial among some musicians, but some of these DJs that are doing some of the remixes, like with this Fania 50-year anniversary, they actually sent the multi-track recordings to DJs to have them rework them into something that people are listening to now. It's hit and miss. Some of the stuff really works, some of the stuff doesn't. But I think that, and I've talked to a couple of these DJs, they have such reverence. I talked to a guy out in L.A., and he had a Celia Cruz track, and he said when he just put on Celia's voice, he started crying because it was so beautiful, and it impacted him so much. So he had this reverence that said, I'm going to make the best thing I can make as I interpret music. And like I said, some people are not cool with that, about remixing that and redoing things. Like, but some of that stuff, you know, I think it puts it out there again so that people can listen and be aware of it. It's like, okay, people, you're listening to all this stuff, but this is where it comes from.
We just want to keep it coming here. We got the Spanish Harlem Orchestra, 5 horns, 3 percussion, 3 singers, bass, and Oscar Hernandez, band leader, pianist, and musical director with us today. A little more from them. This is from their 2005 Across 110th Street. Of course, big dividing line there if you're headed into Spanish Harlem. This was Bailadores. This was featuring Ruben Blades from that album. Let's hear it.
Bailadores, bailadores, quiero que ahora vaya.
Ruben Blades and Bailadores from the Spanish Harlem Orchestra. John in Dayton, Ohio. You're on with Oscar and Felix.
Well, hello there, and I want to thank you for the history lesson, really, on this rich source of culture and musical legacy. And I just want to ask you what mechanisms are in place to teach younger generations about this music, to keep it alive, not only in the Hispanic community, but, of course, all over America.
I love it, John. Well, thank you. Oscar, how do you respond?
Well, that's a great question, you know, and harking back a little bit to what you were just talking about, unfortunately, guys, one of the things that really bothers me is in this great country that we live in, money sometimes compromises the integrity of many things, or the lack of it. And, you know, Spanish Harlem doesn't get played on commercial Latin radio. That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And here we are. We've won two Grammys. And I always say that non-commercial radio is the lifeblood of what we do. And people who are intelligent and discerning and go beyond what they're fed on commercial radio to seek out quality. And that's the way it is with everything else. And that should be our right. It should be given to us. It should be made aware to us. And it's not being made enough. I think that, unfortunately, we need to find a way as a society to be better. And, you know, my music speaks for itself. You know, I just do what I love and let the chips fall where they may. But now that I listen to it, because I don't even listen to it after it's done, but I listen to it, I can go like, wow, I love what I'm hearing.
You should really feel that. We all feel that.
That's my criteria for doing it. I love it. I mean, and that's what you're hearing is a love fest for me because I do, and I'm blessed. And I got to say, I'm blessed and I'm fortunate that I get the opportunity to do music that I love. That being said, it's not easy. I had to do this record on my own. Right. So
I mean, and props to you for doing it, and to Felix Contreras with Art Latino to the Great. Jose Maso, who brings Con Salsa to Boston. If you don't catch that where you are, look for it online. It's fantastic. But you did, this was what audience funded? You went to one of these Kickstarter things, artistshare.com, to pay for this, Oscar.
I went to ArtistShare to help pay for it because I had initially paid for it, and only because I needed help, and only because the last company that we were with, we won the Grammy. They offered me such little money to own my record that I said, I can't do that. I got to find a way. And I spoke to the musicians, and I'm very clear on and I'm very transparent with everything about getting quality and integrity about, you know, that's what I feel strongly about. And that's what you're hearing, you know. So for me, I had to find a way to do it. And thank God we found a way. It's out there. But we need support. We need for people to come out and say, we support this because we feel it's worthwhile supporting. And if we don't support things that we feel worthwhile about, we're not going to have them in the future. So we need to be clear as a society and as people. You know, I don't want to tell people what to do. It's the last thing I want to say. But, you know, it translates to other things beyond music, as you guys well know. But
yes.
You know, in my case, music is my love. So,
but come on, commercial Latino radio, put it up there. David in Watertown, Massachusetts. David, you're on.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to share, as a kid originally from the South Bronx and who came to school in Boston in the late 70s, as you referenced earlier, really just want to acknowledge and pay tribute to Jose Maso, whose services really and contributions have really been unrivaled in serving the Boston area and beyond. With this joyous and heartfelt music. He's really a one of a kind.
Well, he's a champion, no doubt about it. He's my friend, and I love Jose to death. So thank you, Jose.
Jose was supposed to be with us today. He got caught up. We got Felix here, and we're happy for that. But he really is a champion of this music, and kudos to him for doing it. There's another track.
Jose's a legend and a pioneer, and I'm honored to take his place today because he's the man.
You're great, Felix. You carry the torch very well. There's one track on here where, and you've done this on other albums, Oscar, but you bring in some kind of big hot names out there. In this case, you've got Chick Corea and Joe Lovano on this track. It's the one track on the new album, Spanish Harlem Orchestra, that is vocalized in English, Latin jazz take on an American songbook classic, You and the Night and the Music. This features Chick Corea on jazz piano, Joe Lovano on saxophone and vocals from Ray de la Paz here from the new album.
If we must live for the moment, love till the moment is through.
after the night and the music die, will I have you?
We can hear Chick Corea right there. Oscar, how did you get Chick Corea roped in for this album?
Well, it was kind of last minute, to be honest with you, Tom. I reached out. I had met his wife, and she said, oh, Chick would love to meet you. And I said, okay, great, that'd be great. And I emailed her because she gave me her email address. Last minute, I was thinking, I tried to get Whit Marcellus as a guest soloist. He said no for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
So I sent her an email. And she said, well, Chick is traveling. You know, I can't even get a hold of him. I don't know where he is, but here's his email address. Write to him. So lo and behold, 3 weeks passed, and I just thought, well, that's the end of that. And all of a sudden, I get an email from his manager saying, Chick is interested in your project. And I said, wow. So I reached out to him, and he said, yeah, you know what? Could you send over the project? Could you send it over so he could hear it? He heard it and immediately called me. Says Chick loves it. He wants to do it. And the next day he was in his studio recording. I told him take my piano track out because I'm a huge Chick Corea fan. I'm a jazz fan, you know, and he's one of my idols. So what can I tell you? What a feather in our cap, and what
really
an honor to have somebody, one of the most prodigious and prestigious musicians in the history of jazz, say, yes, I want to be part of that.
And that is no exaggeration. And there he is with the Spanish Harlem Orchestra right there, you and the night and the music. Keith in Charlotte, North Carolina. Keith, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Keith, what do you think? Oh, Keith, we're losing your line there. I see a little line here that says Keith was 17 years old in a bodega in San Juan, Puerto Rico on the day President Nixon resigned. To go right back to those early 70s, this music, he says, brings him back to that day. I think we've got Rick here. We've got so many, but here, let's try Rick, Austin, Texas. Rick, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everybody. I was just dancing salsa last night myself. this morning, if you consider it was 2 a.m. when I got back.
Right.
I just wanted to recommend to the listeners who are interested in this old school style salsa, the New York style salsa itself. Actually, there's different types of salsa dances out there, and New York style salsa, I recommend all your listeners to check out. It's also called On Two Salsa, and it really connects with the dance type that we're listening to right now. It just really lines up with the tumbao, the congas, and all that. Just a really fun way to dance.
Oh, Rick, I love that we've still got 2 a.m. Dancing kind of in your voice there a little bit from Austin, Texas, and I love you joining us with that. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's get one more of the cuts off here of Spanish Harlem Orchestra's brand new album. This is Dulce Compañera.
Ya yo soy feliz. Porque encontré la mujer para mí. Llegado al fin, la anhelada felicidad es mi compañera, es mi confidente, es todo mi ser. Con sus dulces besos y con sus caricias me hizo renacer.
Dulce Compañera, Sweet Companion there from Spanish Harlem Orchestra. So many callers for you, Oscar and Felix. Carl in Hampton, Virginia.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a trumpet player myself. I used to play in a Latin orchestra up in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And honestly, this music, I'm a white boy from upstate New York, and this was culturally, emotionally, and even musically the hardest journey, but also the most rewarding I'd ever had. But I really noticed that towards the end when I was playing with them, the younger guys, the younger kids, they didn't really appreciate salsa as much as they did merengue, as much as they did bachata. Now I'm down in Virginia, I'm really seeing the same thing. So I was wondering, why is that a nation, is that really across the board that's happening? And also, with the guys that I used to play with, they were like some of the most laid-back people I'd ever met in my life. But to create such a fiery music, I just would want to know culturally, how did this such a strong, fiery beat. How did that ever get implemented into the Latin culture?
Carl, those are great from someone who's been right there. Oscar, those are big, but take them on. So laid back as guys, so fiery when the music charts up.
Well, laid back, that would not be me.
Okay.
Let me start off with that.
Okay. And, duly
and
noted.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're very fiery people, so I'm not sure the people he encountered, maybe because they were in whether you say Connecticut or somewhere else other than New York.
Yeah.
But there was so much fire and so much energy, and you could feel it in the air, the energy, the electricity. And I could tell you, the heyday of this music, when I was young in my 20s and 30s playing in New York, we would play opposite other bands, and it was always first and foremost who was going to kick the other bands, you know what. So the fierce competition, because we all loved what we did, and that doesn't exist anymore either, because bands don't play opposite each other anymore.
Right.
That was an element and a dynamic that made the music, the competitive aspect of it made the music really took it to a different level.
And we just got a few seconds. What about merengue versus salsa?
Well, merengue, you know, unfortunately, I love merengue, and especially when it's done well. And there was some really good merengues back in the 60s and 70s when I came as a youngster. And I listened to Juan Luis Guerra. But I think that there's a lot of people actually endorsing the music from spending money to, namely, payola sometimes, to put the music. And there's not enough done to educate people about the difference. And I think it's easier, more palatable, more commercial style of music, bachata and merengue, than salsa. So you do have to go outside of yourself and challenge yourself, you know, especially when it's done on the level, like I said, that we and some other people are doing it. So it's more commercial than the music we're doing, for sure.
Oh, boy. I would love to just keep this going, bring in a little merengue, have a little competition right here. Oscar Hernandez, band leader of Spanish Harlem Orchestra, you've been so great to be with us today. Congratulations on the new album, Oscar. It's just terrific, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Tom, and thank you to Felix. You guys do such a great job with NPR and On Point. It's my pleasure. God bless.
And Felix Contreras, co-host of NPR's Alt Latino, you are the man to be with us today, Felix. Thank you very much. What a pleasure to have you. Please come again, Felix.
Anytime. Thank you so much. Thank you.
We go out with one more track. Bravo, yo soy. I am brave, from Spanish Harlem Orchestra. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.